Talkback is brought to you by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Experience the luxury. It's Talkback, Central Louisiana's longest-running talk show. Whether it's the hosts or the callers, Talkback is where Central Louisiana connects and begins its conversation.
All right, and we're back for hour two of Talkback. Sandra McQuain in the studio with Nathan Martin, and we're joined with Matt Ritchie. Matt, welcome to the studio for our Sinlaw Economic Update.
Well, good morning, Sandra. Good morning, Nathan. Good to be here this morning on the first Tuesday of July 2024. Can you believe it? The year's half over.
I think yesterday was technically the halfway mark.
Yeah, and then I read an article this morning, so I think today was supposed to be is the real Independence Day, and then it was signed on the 2nd, but it wasn't actually declared until actually on the 4th.
I had read that a few years ago, and again, there was no internet, there's no Twitter, there's no I did read that somewhere a while back. That's sticking in the fringes of my mind.
But look, we're celebrating the 4th all week long this week, especially with being on the 4th. A lot of short weeks, a lot of folks take vacations on these weeks, and so which slows the economy down a little bit, you know, when you start, and it pumps it back up. You know, you've got got Pavel doing their they'll bring a lot of folks in for the 4th of July. I mean, celebration fireworks tomorrow night. Does Alexandria still do one on the river?
I don't know. They had in the past.
I'll look while we're on the air.
I assumed that they were, but I hadn't heard anything about it. TSA said that this was going to be the busiest travel season in history.
In the history.
That's what they said. They were expecting, I guess, the bounce back from COVID, and people are ready to get out.
Well, you know, and I've seen, I mean, I travel a good bit, and I have noticed that flights have actually gotten improved a little bit. And, you know, they'd kind of gotten up a little bit, gotten up to, and I think they improved where they were, you know, about a year ago, when it was just, every time you look at a flight, you just have a little sticker shock, because where you used to could fly for, you know, $450 somewhere, it was $650, $700.
My flights, just for my client work, have been outrageous lately. Even booking 60 days in advance, I know my conference schedule a year ahead of time. And my last flight to San Diego this last time, I flew weird hours to save my client about $350 on a ticket that was already $900.
Oh, wow.
It was actually, I got a thing from American. It was cheaper for me to fly to Australia than it was to San Diego.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know if that's just because we're in a small market, and, you know, you only have a few flights now, and the flights, you know, it's supply and demand. The seats are pretty full. I have found, you know, going to other markets, I can get a better price break, but then you've got the travel time and everything else, so you have to factor
that. Yeah, no, you
got to
factor that. You got to factor parking and travel. And
we've got a wedding coming up at the end of the year. I have to go out of the country to fly from here $1,700 a person, but I can drive to Houston and do it for $350 a person. So with several of us going, we're driving to Houston. Trust me, it'll be worth it.
No, and so, you know, obviously we want to, but we want to. You know, serve our airport.
Right.
We want to, you know, support our airport. But when you're talking about that and you're paying for three or four tickets.
And I think it has to do, I'm sorry, Matt.
No, go ahead.
I jumped all over you. I apologize. But I think it has to do with the agreements between the airlines. And since we don't have the United connection yet, I hear it may be coming back next year, but we don't have the United to Houston connection right now.
Right.
And then the airline that we're going to be using is, I think there's going to be roosters on the seats with us and that kind of stuff, you know? So it's actually an airline I've never even heard of before. That's a new startup in Mexico. So, you know, Delta and American and United may not have whatever those agreements are called, where you do co-ticketing or whatever. So that could
code
be some
share.
Okay, code share. Okay. I knew she'd know the phraseology. But.
Well, be careful with those roosters and chickens.
I would probably keep my seatbelt on the whole time if I were you.
I hope they have seatbelts.
Well, we've got a good show today. I've got several good commercial sales to talk about.
All right.
Yeah, I was actually at a closing on Friday, and talking with the lender and the attorney at the table, attorney was saying, we're going to probably be probably our slowest July in 25 years. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a pretty strong statement, but it kind of goes to show you where we're at today. The lender was saying, we're not seeing a lot of, ton of deals, but, you know, the deals that we are seeing are all commercial real estate. And that's, you know, that's when we're talking about a lot of our sales. You're seeing some, you're the seeing really, really low, like $150, $200,000 sales on the residential side, because that's really from an affordability standpoint. Mm. Those folks are still needing to move around, entry level, one excited about getting in the house and they can still afford, you know, $100,000, $150,000 home, which those are hard to find, by the way. Those are not very easy products, but so when they do hit the market, they're moving pretty quick because there's still a lack of inventory in that particular price range. Now, you know the $200,000 to $400,000 price range, that's where those notes were. You know, if you were, you know, 2 years ago when rates were 3%, you know, versus today's rates, you know, a $250,000 mortgage would be, you know, let's just say around $1,200 a month, and now that's almost close to $2,000 a month. So that's a car note. That's a lot of things that these folks are just making the decision not to buy. I talked to some Alexandria police officers yesterday who were helping me at a property that I needed some assistance with, and we're just talking, you know, young police officers. They're asking me about interest rates and houses and that kind of thing, and they both said, well, we're sitting in 3% interest rates where we're at, and we'd like to move. The house we would like to buy is $300,000, but we just can't afford it just yet. Mm-hmm. So that's just where we're at in the market. It's just, you know, things always change. Things will, and you know, interest rates hopefully will improve. And so that's just, you just got to deal with where we are. But where we're at today is that you see a lot of commercial deals because commercial deals, you know, there are decision making processes on just commercial deals that say, hey, look, I don't necessarily want to pay 8.5% interest to expand or to open a second location, or for whatever reason they're gonna make that decision. But for investors who are investing in commercial real estate, if the numbers work based off the interest rate today, if the numbers work at 8%. They're still doing deals, and I mean, if they can make money and make the deal work, because they're hedging on the, you know, they're not necessarily hedging, but they're the kind of the upside is that when rates do go down, or when rates go down, whenever that may be, they'll just refinance and they'll just even be in a better position, because they could make the deal pencil out at 8%
right
today. So we got several larger transactions. I won't talk about the number one transaction, the largest transaction of the last 2 weeks, because I am going to report on June 16th through June 30th. But I will talk about the second highest transaction that sold, which was the Dollar General store on MacArthur Drive. You know, when you see those pop up, they're brand new. Generally, those are developers that are being sent out by Dollar General to go out and find locations to build. They go out and do that. They get the store up and running. They get it finished. Store gets open. And then they're generally putting those back on the market to sell to investors, because those developers, their business model is that they make the – they basically – Dollar General offers them a X amount of dollar, X amount of rent. They go in and buy land, develop it, and based off the spread of what their rent is versus what an investor may pay, that's their profit. And so – this, if you want to know what $1.988 million looks like, just drive by and look at the Dollar General on Lake Charles Highway across from the old Masonic Lodge. Mason Estates, the apartments right there before you get to Horseshoe Drive on the left. It's one of the newer, you know, DG markets where they have fresh produce. And those little, they're about 12, 15,000 square feet, and they serve those little communities really well. Someone needs a gallon of milk, and those apartments are... Someone lives in Jack, you know, somewhere on that end of town, and they don't want to have to go to the bigger grocery stores. They serve a good need. So
it's one of the typical. So when I buy that, I'm actually buying the lease that Dollar General has signed on it. What are the typical like length terms of those leases?
That's a good question. Generally, you know, most investors, you know, they're buying that because of Dollar General's credit, and so and generally. They're buying those, and I would say today, now these cap rates change, you know, kind of like how interest rates change. I would imagine this property sold somewhere in the 6.5 to 7 cap range, which means that, you know, they're going to make us, you know, whatever that, let's say it's 7%, they're going to make a 7% return year one on the amount of, on that $1.98 million deal. And so, I mean, I'm sorry, on the rent that they're paying on that. And so let's just say, and if you're doing that, because I mean, at 7%, I mean, you probably wouldn't go buy, let's just say, like a local mom and pop property and buy that and go risk yourself a couple of $1 million at a 7 cap. You may anticipate a higher return on that. And so generally, you're going to want a minimum 10 years. Most likely a 15-year lease, and Dollar General does those. I mean, I know they do 10s, and they most likely in some cases will probably do 15 just because. And then you'll see them move. You'll see them. We've seen them go move right next door. Tioga is a prime example. There was a Dollar General store. So the investor who went and bought that property in Tioga, on Shreveport Highway,
the old Fred's, I think.
No, well, so what? Right next door to the old Fred's.
Okay.
They bought it. They built a brand new Dollar General store. I say built, 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago.
It's hard to believe.
So, there must have been a 10-year lease. They got out, and so the Fred's was available. Instead of building a new store, they wanted to do one of these DG Market mm-hmm. deals where they have fresh fruit, fresh produce. So they just moved next door, and left the guy next door high and dry. And so that is the risk that you take, especially in these Dollar General stores that you see in rural communities. You might have $1.5 million, $2 million in this case, in one of these rural areas where there's not a lot of population, there's not a lot of potential repurpose opportunities for these type buildings. So that is a little risky, but the fact that Dollar General is the credit tenant, that gives some folks, a little comfort there in doing that. Some people, I know a lot of guys that, I know a handful of people that that own multiple of these because they just like and they believe in Dollar General mm-hmm. as a company. So,
great.
So good question.
Thank you.
Regarding that, so interesting enough, the group that sold it and bought it neither are from here, a company called HP Investments. Out of New Boston, Texas, sold to a group out of called Penny 116 out of Victoria Hills, Florida. And so that's the Penny LLC borrowed $1,093,000. So that means they put almost $1 million down, about a 50% LTV. And they financed it through a company called American First Credit Union out of Brea, California. So out-of-town buyer, out-of-town seller, out-of-town lender. So none of our local folks got a piece of that action. So I hate to see that happen, but I am starting to see that as I'm watching these different sales go through. I'm actually seeing where some of our local lenders aren't getting these deals. They're working. That just goes to show you how competitive the lending business is right now, because there's a lot of, all banks are looking for deals right now. They're looking for quality deals, especially when somebody's buying a $2 million asset, putting $1 million down. There's a lot of banks that, mm-hmm. will do those deals and
absolutely.
Want them all day long. So thought that was an interesting deal. Another $1 million sale. So we had $3 million plus sales in the last 2 years.
You want to hold those and we'll take a break and come
sure.
back?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
More with Matt Ritchie right after this.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Now let's get back to TalkBack on KSYL, 970 AM, 104.9 FM, and 100.3 HD3.
All right, try that again. The buttons just don't love me today. But Sandra McQueen, Nathan Martin here with Matt Ritchie. So Matt, I think you queued up three million-dollar plus deals?
I was talking about, in the last 2 weeks of June, we had a couple of multi-million-dollar, million-plus-dollar deals. We just talked about the Dollar General selling on MacArthur Drive. I mean, not MacArthur, but on Masonic Drive, the most recent DG that has been built in Alexandria. Another sale was a million-dollar sale in the Forest Hill area. The Robinson family sells to the Los Rosa Real Estate LLC, which I looked those up, and they own a bunch of nursery property in the Forest Hill area. And it was a $1 million sale. Looks like the Robinson family owned several a couple of large tracts of land right there in and around the La Rosa real estate portfolio. And looks like they just gobbled up some more, increased their footprint. So congratulations to both. Most sales, when people go to the closing table, they've accepted and agreed to a price, and so most folks are happy. Most folks are walking away with $1 million. Now, the one having to give up $1 million may he may be happy the fact that he just expanded his footprint, but he's $1,000 less in cash, but $1 million greater in real estate. So congratulations to those two. The largest sale of the last 2 weeks was actually a convenience store on Broadway, 2501 Broadway. I know that's not a, it's right off of 49, and if you're not traveling off of 49 or traveling that side of town, you may not be aware of that, but it's a Shell station right there off the interstate, right when you come off of, especially if you go into, for all the folks that go north and go into Pineville when they're leaving Sam's and Walmart and that whole end of town, you'll see that Shell station over to your right, to your left. And if you want to know what $2 million looks like, that's what $2 million looks like. A company called D&H Plus of Cinelaw sells to Energy Express Property out of actually Ellicott City, Maryland, for $2 million. So we actually sold that store. David Moses in my office probably 10 years ago, if not more. Local entrepreneur Scott Ryland, who had operated that store for a long, long time, had reached out to David, and David went and found a buyer for it and sold it. And now the guy he sold it to is now selling it to this group, Energy Express. So congratulations to both of those two entities. Interesting enough, I was talking with an out-of-state broker about 2 weeks ago, and Circle K has kind of been circling the market looking for a truck stop location, and that particular exit was one that they were looking at. And so I thought that was very interesting, and then I see this particular sale take place, and so that there's more to local us. When you're here all your life, and you're here, for 10 years, you get your own kind of biases around about what town and what areas that you might prefer, you travel the most or whatever it may be. But I would have never thought as that intersection on that side would have been a location that, someone would go in and invest $10 million in a truck stop. These folks actually saw that as a potential to because this little store that just got bought doesn't have enough room for a truck stop, but it's definitely a high traffic, easy in and out off the interstate location, and so good for the buyer and the seller on that transaction. And interesting enough, that was actually a bank out of Lake Charles. JD Bank financed that for the Energy Bank Express Property LLC. Out of Maryland, they financed, looks like they put about $500,000 down, so they financed $1,450,000 as a mortgage. So,
do we know if the company out of Maryland does a lot of work with Circle K?
We don't. I didn't go that far into my research. I know the local seller of this property. I may have to ask him I will tell you this. I've had several, and I say several, a handful, not two hands, just one. I've had a handful of calls or inquiries over the last 6 months of out-of-town prospects looking for convenience store locations. And when you start thinking about it, you start thinking about some of the best locations we have, they're owned by some of our local regional operators. You've got, Gary Barth, and his partner, Mr. Grimes, and you've got Lance Harris with all his Lebo stores. You've got the St. Romains with the Why Not Stops. And they all have, 10-plus locations, and they're in really, really good locations.
Right.
And you got a couple of Circle K's here and there. But So these are all independent folks looking for convenience store locations in our area. So, you know, it's always good to see because, you know, we all hear negative. You hear the negative side of things. Oh, nothing's going on. But I see some of the positive things when I know that there's actually people looking to invest in our area. When you and to this Energy Express group, I promise you, that's probably a individual that might have some stores up in Maryland and might have some family down here, and they're just looking to expand their footprint and grow a business down here. So good for all the parties involved there. So that was our three $1 million plus transactions the last 2 weeks. We had another sale in Natchitoches that I want to mention for those that actually visit the Natchitoches area. They're in our region. We actually take care of the count their numbers, their real estate numbers in a lot of our accounts. And Aaron Slater Jr., by the way, is actually the broker of River Rouge Real Estate. He was the selling agent. Aaron represented a buyer that's actually located out of Miami, Florida, who has ties to Natchitoches. And he bought 500 Front Street LLC. The seller was Pearson Realty Corporation. And he bought the addresses of 500 through 516 Front Street and then 106 Tulane, which is right off of Front Street right there. The property has 5 commercial locations and 1 residential location. And the transaction price was about $800,000. Mm-hmm. One of the tenants in the building that you might know, just to kind of give you a point of reference, because obviously Front Street's pretty long on several blocks on downtown Natchitoches on Cane River, but is Mayu's Restaurant. So if you've ever been to Mayu's is a tenant in this building. That's one of the more popular restaurants in Natchitoches. So local guy lives in Miami, sees an opportunity to buy real estate in Natchitoches. So good story. Two good local brokers. Aaron had a relationship with him. Did a really good job representing him on that deal. And then Zach Mindendorf, who is with Cane River Realty, him and his agent, Don Wells, represented the sellers of the property. So that's almost $1 million transaction, right at $800,000. So congratulations to all them on that sale. And if we got several more commercial transactions to talk about. And after the break, we'll go over them.
We'll be back right after this.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Let's get back to the show. It's TalkBack on KSYL.
Okay, I love that return music. It makes me think of being on my roller skates when I was about 13 years old. So anyway, so Matt, you had some sales,
We're going to keep rolling because we talked about some of the largest sales. Now these aren't anything to sneeze at, but a company called D&J Construction out of West Monroe sells to Petron about a 14-acre tract right on the river. If you go into the Port of Alexandria, get up on the levee, well, before you get on the levee, turn right, there's a little 14-acre track right there there was an asphalt plant. I think D&J Construction was an asphalt business, and so Petron bought that, and so good. I'm sure if Steve bought it, I'm sure he's got some plans for it, so congratulations to him for that sale. Also, we had a little apartment property sale on Jackson Street, 2027 Jackson Street. Company out of New Iberia called OWDP Holdings sells to a company called Farmhouse Properties. They're out of Colfax, and they bought a little. I think that's on the prop that it's 2027, and I think that property is on the corner of 21st and Jackson Street. It's a little two-story apartment building. I believe there's about 6 apartments in there. It was well done. It was redone about 4 or 5 years ago, and it sells for about $300,000. So if you want to know what a $300,000 apartment building looks like, you can go by there and check that out. And then another commercial sale. It's a smaller sale, but I just mentioned it of interest because the Living Word Apostolic Church, thank you, Nathan, of Esler Community sells to Dallas Lavisphere, Pineville, 6958 Esler Field Road. I have, interestingly enough, I have been a part of probably a half a dozen or so church building sales, and this is not unusual. It's a $43,000 sale. Church buildings are just so special use. They're so special use, and to convert them, now they generally are, you know, have a little land with them sometimes, but the conversion of them. You know, I bought the old Pineville East Baptist Church on the corner of Melrose and Pine Grove a few years back, and we were actually able to, it was a special use, we were able to convert it for a great use for a group off of called the Extra Mile that operates, and they were on the Central State grounds, and they needed to relocate off of the Central State Hospital grounds, and it was a building that just worked for them. And so, but it's just, it's rare to, I mean, you got a lot of times you got to, you know, really do a lot of a big conversion. So I'm not sure what happened to that church. Nathan, I'm, are you familiar with that church?
I believe that's the church that Roger Toney was pastor of. He was a former city council member in Ball Town, yeah, alderman,
right?
And I don't know what's happened, but so it was sold to an individual.
It was sold to an individual, and so I don't know what they're going to do with it. But anyway, so I just thought that was those church sales are interesting to look at sometimes. England Economic Development continues to acquire land out there. Actually, Lance Harris actually sold a property to them in the last couple of weeks. New construction sales. Now, this is what I continue to talk about. The D.R. Horton and Old Town neighborhood over off of Bay Rapids, because they continue to sell homes. I keep talking about it because there has not been one reporting period in the last 2.5 years since they started building homes in there that I have not reported a sale. And a lot of times in those 2 week periods, they're selling 2, 3, and 4 homes in those periods. So it's obviously notable, and they're obviously they're filling a need. These are two sales, $265,000 and $285,000. You're just not seeing local builders do that. And then another sale of interest, and not necessarily complete interest, but other than the fact that you've got a $800,000 residential sale in the Lake District. So even those higher end, larger new construction homes, and that was Tuck Bolton had actually built a home and sold that for just under about $800,000 in the Lake District. So, you know, congratulations to Tuck for being able to really taking the risk to do that. There's a lot of risk, especially in this environment. A lot of times these are spec homes. I mean, they're custom homes that he's doing for folks, but sometimes he actually goes out there and builds on speculation, and that takes a little guts and a little nerve in this kind of market. So congratulations. That was not the largest residential sale in the last 2 weeks, though. The largest residential sale in the last 2 weeks was actually a home on 40 acres of land out off the Paper Mill Cutoff Road, which is Highway 3128, and it sold for $814,000. A gentleman out of Oklahoma sells to a local buyer for that. So that was the largest sale. You're just not seeing a ton of those. I tried to find the mortgage. I didn't see one. So that tells me, you know, a lot of times when you're seeing these on the residential side, there's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of 7-8% mortgages. They're just paying cash for them if they have the opportunity to do that. Where are we at on time, Sandra?
Why don't we take a break and then we'll go into the next part of our list. All right, we'll be back right after this.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. There's nothing quite like the unparalleled quality and style with Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to KSYL's TalkBack after the show. It's audio on demand at KSYL.com.
And we're back. Sandra McQuain, Nathan Martin, joining us in the studio, Matt Ritchie with the Sunlaw Economic Update. So what else is on your list? Although I had a question. You want to take my question first?
Sure, we'll take it.
So just curious, the Freddy's car wash combination there outside the power station, not a lot of construction activity. Assume everything is still go for lunch?
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so, because I'm probably going to be the first one in the drive-thru.
I had never heard of Freddy's until you brought it up at a show, you know, a year or two ago.
Uh-huh.
And then we were in Lafayette and went by, and I saw the shtick. I mean, I got it. You know, the 50s nostalgia.
Yeah.
And the taste was wonderful. And, you know, I'm super excited about them coming. I actually downloaded the app. I've never been back since, but I joined the club.
So you have the app and you're ready to roll.
I'm ready to roll. I've got the app. That's right.
That's So Sandra, to your question, I do not know. I know Brandon Thompson is gonna. Him and his wife are the franchise owners of that particular location, and I need to reach out to them and just find out what their anticipated opening date is, because. You know, there's going to be several things going on with construction. They may have started digging, looking for plumbing lines, and may have to, you know, waiting on something, or they may have some materials. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've done several construction projects, and sometimes I'm so anxious I want to get started, and I don't necessarily have all my materials, but I can go ahead and get started and say, okay, well, I'll just wait. You know, it could be all sorts of things, but I would imagine that the fact that they got started, and I'm not sure if Brandon hired a separate contractor, because a lot of those companies have dedicated contractors that have built dozens and hundreds of them, and they can go in, they know exactly what to do, they can knock them out. I mean, I've seen some of these old concepts go up in 90 days before. So I have a feeling once they get started, they're going to get rocking. I just don't know what the holdup is now. Yeah, we got a call.
We do. Good morning. You're on the air with Matt Ritchie.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I was just wanting to check with you, Matt. I was the La Luna Mexican restaurant on 107. I thought they were supposed to open up back in June, and I just went by it this morning, and they still... I don't know if they still having to do some remodeling or work on it. I was just wanting to know if you might knew what was going on.
Good question. I actually drive by that every morning and every afternoon on the way home, and so I'm looking at it as well. I know they put out a post a couple of weeks ago saying that they weren't going to make their June opening, and it would be mid to late July. And so hopefully I think everyone in that community over there is anxious for them to open. I can't wait for them to open. It looks like they're doing a lot of work. I mean, there's a couple of cars there early in the mornings, and looks like hopefully they're working night and day to get it done. But once I hear, I'll announce it on the next show.
Good deal.
But thank you for calling.
No problem, Matt.
I appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Thank you
the guys
calling.
That are running that, you know, they've got a heritage of – their families own Mexican restaurants, and so I think they're kind of bringing youthfulness and innovation combined with traditional restaurants running. So I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Yeah, no, they've done a lot of work. I mean, when they started doing landscaping, because that's generally the last thing that you do before you open up. I thought they may be open up, so they must have a little snafu. But hopefully they're going to be open soon, and it'll be good, and there'll be good service and good food, and they'll be there for a long time and make lots of money. That's what we want, right?
So.
And you were mentioning, you know, projects that you have constructed, and I just realized, I don't think we've asked for an update on your senior living apartment complex. And how's that going? It's probably been open, what, about a year or so?
You know what? I appreciate you asking about that. Yeah. I really do. For those who haven't or don't remember, we took the old Red River Inn Hotel behind the Gold Firm Law Firm and the Verona Italian Restaurant. Over off of Halsey Street. It's been 5 years since we first acquired it. Went through COVID, and then went through a whole bunch of other permitting and other issues, and then we started construction about 21, sometime in the fall of 21, spring, midsummer, about 3 years ago. Because it ended up taking us 2 years. So we finally got our final certificate of occupancy in August of 2023. And what we did is we took this 88-room hotel that was built in the 60s. We gutted it out completely. And, that, you know, I've seen different levels of gut jobs. Some people say, well, we gutted out, and they just took and changed out some light fixtures and plumbing fixtures. No, we literally gutted this thing completely out. The only thing that was left was the roof structure, which we put new decking on and shingles on, and we completely rewired it. So all the wiring Because of code, we had to put new sprinklers. It didn't have a sprinkler system because it didn't require one in the 60s for a hotel. But because we were doing apartments, we had to put a sprinkler system in. And so everything inside's brand new. But the long and short of it is, we decided that we were going to do a 55 and older concept, so age restricted. And because I've done some of these age restricted properties in the past, I knew that the lease up period would take longer than normal. Because with 42 apartments, I've done the largest one I did was a 20 unit deal, 55 plus. And it took me, about, almost a year to get a, get the 55 plus community there. But once it's been done, and I've done it a bunch of other times, it's just a great concept. And this, with 42 units and being upstairs, which we added an elevator. It did not have an elevator. So we built a third building on the property. We put a brand new elevator in it. To accommodate the senior community and the upstairs. And so today we are 29 of the 42 occupied. So we're actually on path. I figured my estimation was that we would lease up 2 to 3 per month, which, it's nobody likes waiting that long because I could have already been filled up. If I wouldn't have age restricted it, I could have actually had that thing filled up in 6 months. But because it was age restricted, it's just taking a little bit longer. So my prediction is by October, November, we're going to be full. And I think once that happens, we're fitting a great need for those. Cause look, it's not government subsidized. There's no tax credits attached. This is me and my partner went to the bank and borrowed the money and did this. And so, but in the meantime, we're also offering pretty affordable rents. I mean, we got one bedrooms at $725.
Wow.
We thought we could get a little more than that, but the market said, not today. We think we'll get there. We were started off at $825, and then we said, let's just go ahead and do some move-in specials. Let's get it filled up, and let's get it stabilized. And then our two bedrooms are renting for like $950, and these are all brand new units.
That's amazing.
You go to a brand new apartment property, you're going to be paying double those rates,
right?
Almost.
Well, I want to compliment you on it, partly because I know you didn't use any government money, no subsidies. These projects are normally done with government funds, but congratulations and thank you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back with our last segment with Matt Ritchie right after this.
Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to KSYL's Talkback after the show. It's audio on demand at KSYL.com.
All right, Matt, last 5 minutes are yours.
Golly, 5 minutes?
You get five whole minutes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I did pull up a report. I want to just talk about the local inventory just for a second. And I ran a report from 19 to 24. So June of 19, there was 497 units on the market here locally, residential units. I didn't pull up this is strictly a residential single family home, which would include condominiums. 497 units. COVID, 312. That was 2020. 2021, 201 units on the market. 272, 272. So we're seeing a little uptrend. Mm-hmm. And then in 2023, we had, and this is all June of these years, 366. Mm. And then today we have 435 units, active units on the market. You just look at that trend. I mean, that's just a V. That's a pure V from 497 to 435 down, and in the middle of that was 201 units during COVID. That just goes to show you know, where we're at and why things were moving so fast. Mm-hmm. Things were just, you couldn't keep a property on the market. I mean, I've often said I should have just sold everything that I owned in 2020 2021.
But where would you have put the money? Because you would have had to turn around and buy something else.
I would have just. I think I'd have bought Central State Hospital.
That's awesome. We'd love you to do that. Let's have a conversation off air.
Central State Hospital, for being being a Bible guy and being in that area and just being a real estate developer, I think that is the most unique development opportunity for someone that in my business that does, and the fact that I could do it in my backyard. And don't get me wrong, I'm coming, Nathan. I'm coming to visit you and the city and the mayor, and I want to do a project there. Don't know what size and what capacity. The good news is there's, what, 500? It's between 500 and 600 acres.
It's a bunch.
And some of it's usable.
Right.
Some of it's not usable. But I think, I've just kind of played around on the map and just kind of measured tools and areas of the – I think there's probably about 400 acres of actually usable, developable property. And I know there's some things going on. You know, there's some things out there with, you know, cemeteries and other areas that you can't develop. But
what's the infrastructure at Central State? Is it?
Well, they have their own.
Right. Some of it is very old and would have to be reworked. Yeah. But there is an existing infrastructure, at least to begin working with. So
that's on my dream board.
Come on. Hey, dumb question probably. Someone called in maybe 2 weeks ago about adjustable rate mortgages. And, you know, if somebody was thinking that, hey, I think interest rates are going to go down, I'm hearing that a lot of stuff is going to depend on the election, right? Because everybody wants to know what's happening. Yeah. But is it okay to do an ARM now and then refinance in a couple of years?
Yeah, it's always okay to do it. You just got to anticipate that, you know, you may have that cost of refinancing, and then there's a cost associated with that. But it could be a calculated risk depending on what rate that you could actually get and what your exit plan is.
Great. Just well, Matt, thank you. Nathan, always glad to have you. Al will be back in the studio with me tomorrow, but thank
you
for the economic update.
2 weeks. Thank
you
all so much.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank
you. Go out and make it a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to Talk Back. The opinions expressed were those of the hosts and callers, and not necessarily those of Senlaw Broadcasting.